Earlier this week, House Democratic leader in the Florida legislature, Dan Gelber from Miami Beach, addressed the Tampa Bay chapter of the Democratic Professionals Council at Mise en Place restaurant in Tampa. Gelber talked about working with Charlie Crist and how it differs from being the top foe of former Governor Jeb Bush.
The two governors that I've served under, I got along with both of them personally. But Governor Bush and I had a funny relationship in that, you know, I think it was last year, the Wall Street Journal called me his chief nemesis. And I thought that was good. I called him up. I said, if I'm your chief nemesis, then you have problems. Okay? I said, because that makes me huge. You know, I mean, I'm the chief nemesis of the governor. Wow. And he said, no, you're a very good chief nemesis. Okay? I love that because I think he was sort of saying, I like having you there. You're a good counterweight. Although I'm not, I think he was such a powerful governor. He had his way with the state in so many levels that to a great extent, you know, I credit him with being a masterful politician and somebody with a deep understanding of policy. But the truth is, I think a lot of his policies were out of step with Florida. Certainly, I think a lot of his education policies have been out of step with Florida. But I credit him for not really caring, I guess, to a certain extent. He wanted to get it done anyway, and that's the kind of person he was. He was a very strong political figure, polarizing to a certain extent, but I think people respected that he had his beliefs, even if they were a little bit out of step, and he was going to advance them regardless. This governor is much different. He comes from your neck of the woods, and he has given everybody fits in a sense that he hasn't followed sort of the tradition of Governor Bush and being against him or for him. He's been someone who I think judges things on the issues. You know, and it's very interesting. Governor Crist, I think, is probably instinctively a moderate. And although, you know, he has taken positions that might be viewed as very conservative, he's also taken positions that are obviously very progressive. On the environmental stuff, he has a hybrid, you know, and he's taken a lot of leadership in the environmental and some other issues as well. So I credit him with that. But it's created a whole new dynamic in Tallahassee. Before, it was very easy. When Governor Bush was there, I knew exactly that I was going to be a counterweight to him and our caucus was going to be disagreeing with probably anything he said. That's just the way it was, because almost every time he spoke, we disagreed with him. Okay, and you know, and that's sort of what happens. With Governor Crist, everybody has to be very specific to issues, because he might say something in the morning that's exactly how I feel, and in the afternoon say something that I might disagree with. And our caucus, therefore, has the Democratic caucus in the House, and there's a difference between the Senate and the House caucuses. We are the group that's supposed to come up with the ideas that are different than everybody else, because the senators tend to work together in unison on everything. And it's with Governor Crist, it's really been, it's brought out our better angels to a certain extent, because we can't make anything personal anymore, because he's proven that he's willing to be thoughtful on a lot of different issues, so we have to be. And I think that's probably pretty good for Tallahassee. On the other hand, and now I'll segue into what you asked me to talk about this last special session, on the other hand, we're still capable of dysfunction at any level and at any moment. And we clearly, you saw that over the last few legislative sessions.
After Gelber spoke, he took questions from the audience. Tampa City Councilwoman Linda Salcena asked why the legislature didn't get that cutting property taxes is hurting local government so severely.
I don't think in Tallahassee, unless some group willing to have that conversation just happens to be meeting there. Okay. I mean, look, here's the point. Everybody wants to be a tax cutter in Tallahassee without looking at the dynamic that brought us here. And obviously, here's how we got here. We gave away a lot of our revenue to folks that didn't need it. The $20 billion in tax cuts I referred to earlier, like 2%, were for the sales tax holidays. 98% were for things like, you know, allowing corporations to assign their income to another state so they don't have to pay taxes here. I mean, we did a lot of tax avoidance things that were intentional loopholes that were created so that corporations and special interests didn't have to pay a fair share. And if they're not willing to look at that, all they're going to do is cannibalize the groups of services that are critical to our state. I always talk about, you know, isn't it sort of amazing that in a state with a graduation rate and the uninsured population, that we're actually taking money from healthcare and education for a tax break? That's crazy. How many kids should we have without insurance in the state of Florida? Is 700,000 simply not enough? Maybe it ought to be 1 million. Maybe it ought to be 2 million. That's what we ought to do. I mean, it's crazy. And I think the problem is we've shifted a lot to local government, but there's another dynamic that's very interesting that Save Our Homes has created. I mean, I support Save Our Homes in a state that has widely fluctuating real estate. But you know why locals, you know, we're telling local government to roll back? Has anybody ever wondered why local people aren't telling local government to roll back? Why they're not unelecting everybody? Isn't that sort of a funny dynamic? Why state legislators? Why I got to tell you guys, elected official, why am I doing that? Well, you know why? Why aren't your own people doing it? There's a reason. I want more cops on my block because I know I'm only going to get a 3% tax increase no matter how many are there. The truth of the matter is Florida has created, because of Save Our Homes and some other distinctions, a population that's really not as much attached to the democratic process. They don't show up to City Hall because they don't have to worry about their taxes. Now, businesses do, and new home buyers do. And renters certainly get the worst of it because they pay indirect taxes without Save Our Homes protection. But we've created a dynamic that's very dangerous. I don't think that conversation is going to occur by legislators, but I think the Taxation, Budget, and Reform Commission might do it. And the advantage they have, unlike all the individuals who do referendums and initiatives, is the way it works in Florida is if you're doing a citizen initiative, it has to be a single subject, which means you can only do one thing. And while simple is very good on the ballot, it often lacks the nuances that are necessary for good policy. The Taxation Commission and the legislature can put multiple subjects on the same ballot. And that's very important because, and that's why I don't think what we did in, is a very good idea in January. Because we can take things that are really good, like tax breaks, and we can put them with things that people may not be excited about, but they think is pretty good, like a shifting of revenue from local property owners to Tallahassee revenue sources. I think we can combine those on the same measure so that people vote their pocketbook, but also vote for a reform that improves the state.